There's an old, and I don't know if you can call it a protest song, but it was back in those days, and I know I'm getting old, but I can't remember if it was the 60s or 70s. But some of the words to this song was sign, sign, everywhere a sign. And they were talking about signs being all over the place. A sign for this, a sign for that. No trespassing signs, no smoking signs, do not enter, do this, don't do that. Sign saying, you know, don't apply for a job here if you have long hair. Don't do this, don't do that. Many people don't like it when they read signs that restrict them, that seem to keep them out of places or keep them from doing things. But everywhere we look, we see signs. We travel the highways, the expressways, we see signs. We're in the cities, we see signs. We recognize companies and businesses by their signs because they put everything out there on it, all the information, where they're at, their hours. If they're a restaurant, maybe their menu. But they give us all of that information, and we know who they are and all of the information by that's on that sign. We even see some signs that really don't have to say anything. We're so familiar with them, we can recognize them without anything being said. I've got a few signs I'd like to show you, and I'm sure we're all familiar with these because we see them all the time. We know what they are. We know who they belong to, what they say. And I hope you can see them. Some of these are bigger than others. But there's one. You know, it's the big boy sign for the big boy restaurant. Who doesn't recognize that? When you see that, you know that there's a big boy restaurant there. And what they serve, what they do. Here's one that my youngest grandson knows very well because he said it's his favorite place on the planet. And that's Toys R Us. We can't go within 8 blocks of one. He smells it, sees it, something going on. He knows where it's there. Here's one. We all know who that is. We all know what they do. Here's their archenemy. We know what they do too. But it doesn't say anything. That says nothing on it, but we all know what that is, what company that belongs to. If you don't know this one, you're an alien from another planet. We know that one. You know, that's now the first words, instead of the first words a child says is dada or mama, McDonald's. We see that all the time. And I was hoping when I went through these that I just didn't have all food, because that would make people think that, hey, he kind of likes food, which I do, but I didn't want to appear to be that way. But here's another one, Hollywood, the Hollywood sign. Who doesn't know that sign when they see it up on the hills above Hollywood? Everybody knows that. It's known worldwide by everyone. And here's one I put in just to get some points, just to do it again. Happy Mother's Day. But these are signs we all know, we all see, we're all very familiar with. But there is one other sign that we should be aware of. There's another sign out there that we should all know, and we should recognize it easier than we recognize the signs I just showed you. It's a sign that can direct all of mankind toward God, toward the knowledge of God. You and I should be very, very familiar with this sign. It's a sign given to God's people to help them to know him, to know who he is, to help them build a relationship with him, to understand him. What is he doing? Most all signs are posted all over the place. The sign we should recognize and be familiar with is in the books of the Bible, in God's word. And we're going to talk a little more about signs today, but we're going to do that a little later. We're going to talk about something else right now. It's a basic subject. It's a basic truth. And some may even feel we know this subject so well, why am I taking time to talk about it today? Because we know it. We've heard it. We've listened to it. We've done it. One of the main reasons people leave God's church is that when the wind of false doctrines begins to blow, they forget. People forget. What do they forget? They forget to hold on to the trunk of the tree of God's truth, the basic truth. What information did God give you when he first started calling you? What did you understand? That's the foundation. That's the trunk of the tree that we should grasp for and hang on to when that wind of false doctrine starts blowing. When we start doubting what we believe, or any doubt enters our mind, we need to grasp onto that trunk of that tree and hold fast. But what is it about that trunk of the tree that's so important to us? Shouldn't we be learning more important things? We've talked about, Mr. Armstrong used to talk about the two trees. We talked about the trunk of the tree. Should we be moving on as God's church, as God's people? Because we know these things. But should we just be moving on and get beyond this? But anytime you move ahead on your knees, like God's people should be doing, we move slowly. But we make good, solid progress. We, being members of the body of Jesus Christ, should be on our knees a good part of our lives. We should do something about our relationship with God every day. We should talk to God every day. And I want us to think about and evaluate our foundation, and that's the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day, today. Do we remember to keep God's Sabbath holy? Do we remember to keep God's Sabbath holy? It's very important. Our understanding that the Sabbath is set apart and sanctified by God, and the fact that we observe the Sabbath is very important. That understanding is very important to our spiritual lives because it concerns our relationship with God. It concerns our relationship with our Creator. Let's look back at Genesis 2, Genesis chapter 2, and read about the Sabbath here and how important it is to God. Genesis 2, and beginning in verse 2, says, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." God rested from all of his work. He looked around and seen what he had done and saw that it was good, and he rested. He took that day and made it special. He set it aside, made it different than all the other days, gave it a different meaning. But this day is so important to God, the Sabbath day, that he included it in his Ten Commandments. In his law, he included that. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And in verse 8, it starts out by saying, remember. Well, if somebody has to tell you to remember something, there's a good chance or there's a possibility that we could forget it, that we could forget what it's about, forget about who created it, forget about what we do. How do we honor God on the Sabbath day? Which day is the Sabbath day? But God says here, starting out, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. A special day, a special time, a special gift to us, because God has given us the Sabbath. When he opened our mind to understand his truth, he helped us to understand the Sabbath day. And it is set apart. It's a special day that he created. for us. When God explained to Moses about his feast days, he included the weekly Sabbath. Let's turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 and in verse 1. And it said, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. God's holy Sabbath day. It's part of the feast days. It's part of a day, a part of God's plan that gives us a day of rest, a day to come before God and to spend time with Him, a day to be able to get to know Him better. If we don't spend time with each other in conversation, if we don't go out to have dinner once in a while, just sit around the table and talk, how do we get to know each other? We don't. How do friends become friends? They get to know one another. How do we become better acquainted with God? Well, we spend time with Him on His special day, on His Sabbath day, to get to know Him better, to just let Him know we want to be here because it's our choice. God doesn't make us come to church on a Sabbath day. It's a choice that we make. But He wants us here spending time with Him. That's why He created this special day. A day that's set apart. A day when we quit doing the things that we do. And we do the things that please God. The Sabbath day is a feast to our God, to our Creator. When Jesus Christ walked the earth as a human being, He set an example. He kept the Sabbath day. An example we should follow. Let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And in verse 16, it says, so He, Jesus, came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Jesus Christ kept the Sabbath. He taught on the Sabbath. He spent time with His Father on the Sabbath. He spent time with the disciples on the Sabbath, with other people. He fellowshipped. He learned as well as He taught. But He knew it was a special day, a time to give to God, to give Him our attention. Matthew 5, if you turn there, Matthew 5, and in verse 17. You know, we see that Jesus kept the Sabbath day. Now, it doesn't seem likely that if He was going to do away with the Sabbath in a very short time, that He would have even mentioned it. Or He would have started saying, well, we're doing this now, but we won't be doing this for long. But He didn't. He didn't mention that. And the Bible goes on to say, you know, the apostles kept the Sabbath. Other people went on to keep the Sabbath after Christ was crucified. Matthew 5 and in verse 17, it says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to magnify, to make it clearer how important Sabbath is, how important the commandments are, how important God's plan is, so that we can understand it, so that we can see the spiritual aspect of that, what it means for our future, that it's more important. It's not just a day. It's a very special day, sanctified by God. Again, a gift to us, something that God wanted to give to us so that we can enjoy. Isaiah chapter 42, if you turn there with me, please. Isaiah 42. And in verse 21, it says, the Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. That's what Jesus Christ was doing, showing us, showing the world, showing anyone who would listen, this is important. There's more to it than physical. There's a spiritual aspect here. There's a spiritual meaning here to the Sabbath, to the holy days, to the commandments, to everything God's doing. There's more to it than just meets the eye. God's law, the Ten Commandments, are for our good and the good of everyone. You know, there is another old song that says, what a wonderful world this would be. And if everybody kept the commandments, wouldn't that be so? What a wonderful world. We wouldn't have to worry about anything, any crime, any danger, anybody stealing anything from us if we all kept the commandments, if the world did that. John chapter 14. What a time that would be. I remember when I was little and we would lay in the summertime in front of the screen door with the door open and didn't really think about somebody coming into our house and stealing something. We just didn't have any fear of laying there and leaving the door open all night. Wasn't an issue. John chapter 14 and in verse 21. Says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. The more we keep God's laws, the more we keep his Sabbath, the more we understand the Sabbath day and how important it is to God, the more we'll get to know our Heavenly Father, the more we'll get to know Jesus Christ. We have 6 days during the week to do our pleasures, to do our work, to get things done. But on the seventh day, God has sanctified that day for himself to bring us here for a day of rest. Keeping the Sabbath does require effort on a person's part. It requires driving, sometimes a long distance. It requires preparation during the week. It requires talking to people. You know, I'm comfortable if I could just go sit in a corner and be there all by myself sometimes. But, you know, we don't need to do that. We need to talk to one another, to get to know one another. That's what the Sabbath is all about. And God helps us do that. But it does take effort on our part to show God, we want to be here. We want to worship you on your holy Sabbath. We're so fortunate to know your truth, to be blessed with this day, that we can understand what you're doing and can understand how bad the world is, how it's degenerated because they left you out of their lives and out of the picture. But we're here on God's holy Sabbath day. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approach, to be excited, to want to be here, to not forsaking God's Sabbath, but to enjoy it, to look forward to it. How many of us over the years have said to ourselves, thank God for the Sabbath? The weeks have been stressful. They've just wore you down. And you can say, thank God for the Sabbath day, a time when I can come away from all of this. The stress of the job, the stress of the boss, and just to be able to get away from that for a 24-hour period and put that behind us. I always thought it was funny when we'd go to the feast because normally I would always try to get things prepared at my job. So when I left for the feast and gone for a couple weeks, when I came back, really wouldn't have a lot to do. And it was so amazing because I really never thought about my job till about the time I was on my way back home. It was like God just kind of took that away. Don't have to worry about this while you're here. But it was always nice to be able to get away from that stress. And that's the way the Sabbath should be for all of us, to get away from that, not worry about it. We'll worry about it tomorrow. We'll get back into it tomorrow. But today, the special day that God's given us, we can forget about that. A full day of rest. How great is that? When I was younger, the first vacation I ever took with my family was our first feast. Because I worked 6-7 days a week, didn't have time to stop, didn't have time to worry about anything, didn't have time to be home because I was working so much. Not caring about the Sabbath, whether it was Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday, it didn't really matter. But just, you know, out there trying to make a buck. And if I couldn't get overtime at work, I'd work a second job or do whatever. But I just didn't stop. It was always go, go, go. And I just didn't understand. how we need that rest, how we need to recoup, to think about what we're doing. And then when God opened my mind to His truth, who He was, and that He was there, to just understand that there is a relationship that we can have with our Creator. And that relationship involves having this time with Him, this special time. We learn about our future, our awesome future that God has in store for us by being here meeting on His Sabbath. What a gift. What a gift we have. How blessed we are. And we tend to think about more things spiritual, godly here when we're here together on the Sabbath. Not that we don't think about God through the week, because we should. But this special time to come together, our conversations are geared more toward God. We think more about what's the kingdom going to be like? What's God doing? How is He going to do this? How is He going to handle that? We tend to think more toward Him, and that's where our thoughts are. Mark chapter 2, if you turn there, Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and in verse 27. Said, and He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. God is Lord of the Sabbath, but He made it for us. He made it especially for us, that He could bring us together before His throne, to be together, to fellowship, to rely on Him, to pray to Him, to ask Him things, to learn more of His ways. You know, every time we open the Bible, and I'm sure you've all experienced this, you've read scriptures for it seems like forever, and then one time you read it, a new understanding. You understand it better. You see something that you've never seen before. Because God is continually working with us, helping us to learn and grow. But He can't do that if we don't spend time with Him. How we keep the Sabbath reflects our relationship with God. But it's a personal thing. How we keep the Sabbath, if we keep it holy or not, that's a personal thing. Because God called us as individuals. God works with us as individuals. How we honor Him in His Sabbath day is an individual commitment, an individual choice. He gives us certain things we should do. He gives us direction. And it's up to us to take that direction and commit ourselves to what He wants us to do. Exodus 20. You turn there with me. Exodus 20. And in verse 18, it says, now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Now Moses was up on the mountain, and the people were seeing what was going on, and they couldn't believe it. They were scared to death. What's happening here? What's going on? And in verse 19, it says, they said to Moses, you speak with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. They couldn't understand what God was doing. They saw all this power, everything going on, and they were scared to death. They were terrified. They didn't understand it. So they told Moses, you be our go-between. We can't deal with God directly. We need to deal with you. And in verse 20, it says, and Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that His fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. All God was trying to do was show Himself what He was about to His people, to get them to understand what He was doing, to get them to understand that He wanted to help them overcome sin, to take them away from sin. But they were just too terrified to do that, to listen to Him. It says, so the people stood afar off. They stayed back. They were afraid. They didn't know what to do. They didn't understand who God was. They didn't understand what He was trying to do. When God wants our attention, He knows how to get it. How many of you can remember back before you were called and didn't know a thing about the Sabbath day, didn't know a thing about the feast days or the Ten Commandments? Maybe heard about them, but that's as far as it went. But God wanted to get our attention. He opened our mind to understand how important these things are. He opened our mind to understand how important the Sabbath day is and that it's a special, special day. God got our attention. He did that. Nobody else. No one else can get our attention to come to the truth other than God. And when he wants it, he'll get it. What do we think when we read these words about the Sabbath? Because we're not trying to prove the Sabbath today. Hopefully we prove that. We know what day the Sabbath is. We know what it represents. So we don't have to prove the Sabbath. But what we need to think about is, do we keep it holy as individuals? Do the things that we do on God's Sabbath please God? Do we spend enough time with him? Do we do his pleasure and not our own? That's a personal choice. Those are personal things. But it's between God and us, our relationship with him. That's what we need to think about. These are simple things when you really think about it. Well, yeah, we know the Sabbath. That should never be an issue. Well, it was an issue for a whole lot of people a few years ago because they weren't grounded. They weren't hanging on to the trunk of that tree. They sat there as we do, and we think about the Sabbath, how special it is, how meaningful it is. But then when somebody comes through, the wind of false doctrine starts blowing, and we see how many people were blown away, even though we thought they knew how important the Sabbath was. All of a sudden, because somebody says it wasn't important anymore, didn't need to keep it, that's all it took. But that's not what God says. God says it's important. But again, it's a personal thing. You can't sit and listen to a pastor or anyone talk about the Sabbath and how important it is, and that's as far as you go. It's our personal relationship with God, our personal relationship with his Sabbath. How do we keep it? Do we keep it holy as he's told us to do? Only we can do that. Nobody can do it for us. You know, there have been times, I remember when I worked at the gravel pit, because I said, like I said before, the Sabbath sometimes it takes effort. It can be a challenge. I worked at a gravel pit, but when I worked there, I also played music. And this was before I started coming to church, before I knew anything about the Sabbath. I knew about the Sabbath, but I didn't do anything about it. But I played music every weekend. So Friday nights, I would be out playing till 2, 3 in the morning, and then I was expected to be to work at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. Well, I was like 19, 20 years old, and if I came in a little work too late, that was no big deal, which I did every Saturday. I came in late. And, you know, the boss would talk to me a little bit, yeah. And so that would get right through to the next Saturday, and then we'd go through the same thing again. But then when, you know, I really started hearing God and what was he saying about his Sabbath, and I thought, I can't do this anymore. I can't work on God's Sabbath anymore. I can't play music. I've got to just stop. So I went and explained to my boss in the gravel pit. I said, you know, I can't work Saturdays anymore. And he's looking like, yeah, now what's up? You play music on Saturday too? And I told him, I said, well, no, I said, you know, I'm going to go to church. Well, yeah, that certainly didn't convince him of anything because he thought that was just another something I came up with. But it was a real challenge because it was such a change. And he knew me, I knew him. And, you know, to tell him that I couldn't work Saturdays because I was going to go to church just was a little more than he could swallow right at that time. But anyway, it all worked out. They fired me several times. I got my job back, and then finally I just thought, you know what? I'm going to go somewhere else and work. And it's God has taken care of me with jobs since. And he's done that for many, many people. I've talked to I don't know how many people who had Sabbath issues, and they've always ended up with a better job, a better situation. And that's good, because if you obey God, God will take care of you. And it's a test. Are you going to keep my Sabbath? Are you going to honor it because it's holy time? Are you going to spend it with me? That's what God wants to know. Our Heavenly Father keeps an eye on us. He watches what we do. He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants us involved in His. He knows what we do through the week. He knows what we do on the Sabbath, because that's His time and the time He wants us to be with Him. But God is always helping us to grow in knowledge, in the knowledge of our future, of what He has in store for us. Do we really try and strive? And sometimes it's a struggle to apply the things that we learn. Do we hold God's truth close to us, in our minds and in our hearts? Do we understand how important the Sabbath day is to God? Remember, He told us to remember this day. Don't forget this day. Remember it. If we make sure that the Sabbath never takes second place to any of our own personal pleasures, we'll be showing our love to God. We'll be doing His pleasure. We have to have a priority, and that priority should be God's Sabbath. Our goal as Christians is the kingdom of God. That's our goal. God has shown us that. He's teaching us that. And the weekly Sabbath is just the beginning of how good it can be and how good our relationship can be. God's blessed us with understanding of His truth. He continues to do that every day. We learn every day. And we need to appreciate what He's given us. We need to appreciate the Sabbath. Do we have more love for the Sabbath day than we had, say, back since 1995, those that were around in 95, when the Sabbath was being taken away? Do we appreciate it more? Do we understand how important it is? Do we understand that that was the thing that held us together? That was our binding tie with God's truth. Was so important. And do we make sure we keep asking God, never let us take the Sabbath for granted. Never let us demean the Sabbath. Help us to hold on to the truth of how important it is. God expects growth from each of us. Not only growth in our understanding and observance of His Sabbath, but also growth in the knowledge of all of His truth, all of His commandments, His plan for all of mankind. We may think we could never forget how to keep the Sabbath, but we could. If we cut ourselves off from God, if we don't take advantage of every opportunity to talk with Him, to spend time with Him, we could forget the Sabbath. Many people have. Many people have forgot the Sabbath. Many people have forgot the feast, other truths. They've forgotten because they've cut themselves off from God. But God had to show the Israelites, we're not the only ones, He had to show the Israelites how to keep the Sabbath. Even after Moses gave instruction, they still needed to be shown. If you turn with me to Exodus 16. Exodus 16. And in chapter 4. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily.'" Twice as much on that sixth day. That's what they were instructed to do. That's what Moses was instructed. Those are the instructions he passed on. This is how we're going to do this. Let's go over to verse 22. Verse 22. And it says, "And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, 'This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today and boil what you will boil. And lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning.' So they laid it up till morning, and Moses commanded and did it, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. God, another miracle by God. He kept that bread, that manna, fresh for them, for the Sabbath. In verse 25, it said, "Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out to the out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none." You know, it's typical Israelites, you know, just hard-headed sometimes. And we find our way, you know, in the same way today. Sometimes we just don't think. But in verse 28, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws?" With that instruction from Moses, the guidance from God, and they still went out on the Sabbath to look for that. They wanted to do it their way. They didn't want to listen. Let's go check it out. Let's see if God was telling the truth. I think there'll be man out there. Let's see. And they did it. They did it their way. Excuse me, Ezekiel 20. If you turn there with me. Ezekiel 20. And in verse 11. It says, "And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths, to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness, and they did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them, and they greatly defile my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them." God wants us to obey Him. He wants us to pay attention. God provided everything they needed, and they still wanted to do things their own way. They didn't pay attention. God was so disappointed, He wanted to destroy them all. He didn't do that because of His love, because of His compassion. But the more time we spend with God, the better we get to know Him, the more we pay attention to Him. Every Sabbath is important in our relationship with God because it's a special time. We may not think it's so important, but God does. That's why He set it apart. That's why He gave it to us as a gift. That's why when He opened up our minds, we understood, oh, a special day, a seventh day, a special time. And God's given it to us. We in God's church today have it a little better than the Israelites did of old. We do have God's Holy Spirit to help us, to help give us the strength, to help guide us in a direction that's toward God instead of away from God. The Holy Spirit helps us to have a deeper understanding, a spiritual understanding of what the Sabbath truly means and how important it is. We make the choice on the Sabbath. We decide if we want to keep it. We decide if we want to honor God. We decide if we want to spend time with God. That's our choice. God doesn't make any of us do anything. He desires us to be here, and He tells us that. The Sabbath was made for us, a special day, a special time, made for us. Do we think about what we do on God's Sabbath? Do we think about what we don't do on God's Sabbath? The last thing God wanted was for His holy day, His holy Sabbath day, to be a burden. He wants this day to be joyful, a time when we come together and we're just happy to be here. So feeling so blessed to know His truth, not burdened down like the Pharisees did. They burdened people down with so many restrictions that they came up with that weren't godly. God didn't do that. They did. They made the Sabbath an absolute burden for people. It wasn't a joy to keep it. But God wants His Sabbath to be a joyful time, because the future that He has for us, what He's doing with us, how He's shaping and molding us. It's amazing. It's amazing what He's doing with all of us. But He does have His Sabbath day, a holy time, a special time. And he doesn't want it to be negative. He wants it to be positive. But again, that's up to us. That's a choice we make. Is it a good day or a bad day? That's our choice. What are we going to do with it? Matthew chapter 12, if you turn there with me. Matthew chapter 12. And in verse 1. It said, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Not God's decision. That was the Pharisees' decision that it's unlawful to eat on the Sabbath or to pick that corn when you're hungry. In verse 3 it says, and he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those that were with him? And how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to do. To eat, nor for those who were with him, but not only for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath day, that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. But if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus is saying, I know what the Sabbath is. I know how to keep the Sabbath. I don't need your laws. I don't need your burdens put on us. We know what's going on. There's a purpose here. You don't understand what it is, but I do, because I created the Sabbath. I understand how to keep it. But they wanted to impose all of their laws and all of the burdens on people, and Christ wasn't going to have that. We have people in God's church today who have different opinions about eating out on the Sabbath. That's okay. Because, again, that relationship is between you and God. It's a personal choice. If you don't want to eat out on the Sabbath, that's fine. If you do, that's fine. That's a personal choice. And it shouldn't be anybody's business to judge. That's between you and your God. But there are certain things that God gives us to do, and he makes it very clear. And this message isn't about how others keep the Sabbath. It's about how I keep the Sabbath. Do I keep it holy? Do you keep it holy? Between us and God. We know that the Sabbath is a day to rest and honor God. But there's more to it than even that. There's more importance to it than even that. If you'd go back with me to Exodus 31. Exodus 31. And in verse 12. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. Perpetual. Forever. It goes on and on and on. It's indefinite. That's what perpetual means. It doesn't end. Perpetual covenant. A binding agreement or a contract that goes on forever. God created the Sabbath forever. God commands us to keep the Sabbath forever. That's what he's saying here. And then in verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. God made the Sabbath. God rested on that special day, gave it to us and all of our generations forever to keep, to hold near and dear to us, to appreciate it, to learn on it, to spend that time with God. Nothing has changed since then. Remember, Christ came and fulfilled. He magnified the law. He put more meaning to this. This isn't just something, you know, the Israelites really didn't understand. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand the real spiritual aspect of this. But we do. Jesus Christ brought that very clearly to us. There's more to it. There's a spiritual aspect. It's our future. It's who God is. It's what He is. It's special. Keeping the Sabbath identifies us as God's people. It's a sign. It's a binding tie that we have with our Creator God. We look back, and even what it says here, people who disobey God, who don't keep His commandments, who refuse to listen and do their own thing. They're taken captive or they're killed. God does all of the work for us concerning His Sabbath. He tells us what it is. He explains it to us. He tells us why He created it. He tells us how to keep it. He tells us how important it is to Him, what it represents. He tells us to come to Him for help anytime we have a problem, anytime we're wavering, anytime we're having any doubt about the Sabbath. He tells us to come to Him. He'll help us to understand it. He'll help us to get through it. We can't really measure how somebody else keeps the Sabbath day. That's not for us to do. We can measure how we do it personally. And that's something we should do. We should evaluate. Look at ourselves. How are we keeping the Sabbath? Are we pleasing God? Are we doing what God expects us to do? We've heard about the do's and don'ts of the Sabbath for years. We've heard about things we can do. We've heard about things we can't do on the Sabbath. God doesn't go from A to Z on everything. He doesn't spell out every little detail for us. He gives us the big picture on here's what the Sabbath means to me. Here's what you shouldn't do. Don't work on the Sabbath. He makes that very clear. The Sabbath is not a work day. We're to rest. It's a special day of rest. That's what God tells us to do. We're to come to church to have a holy convocation, a worship service. God's instruction. This is how you keep the Sabbath day. We're here to fellowship, to get to know each other better, to talk about God, to talk about His amazing plan and how great He is and how awesome He is. And I can't find any of these things too hard for us to do. There's nothing in here that's rocket science. They're all basic, simple things that God says, here, you can do these things. You can handle this. You can not work. You can rest. You can go to church service. You can fellowship. Nothing here very hard to do. But these are the things God asks us to do and asks us not to do. Let's turn to Leviticus 23. And we've read this once before, but I want to read it again. Leviticus 23. And in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, The feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." These are the feasts of God. These are God's feasts. "6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath, a solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." That's what God wants on His Sabbath day. That's what He created His Sabbath day for. For us. God's brought us out of sin. We just finished the days of unleavened bread. God has explained to us. He's allowed us to know. He's opened our minds to understand what sin is, how bad it is, what it does to destroy everything for mankind. But we're no longer slaves to that unless we want to be. God's broken the chains. He's given us His truth. He's brought Satan out into the spotlight so we know who he is. We know what he's doing. We know what his plan is. But God's shown us His truth. He's helping us to understand more and more. God freed us. He broke those chains and helped us to understand what His Sabbath is all about. I think it's very important for all of us to know and understand the Sabbath day is a holy time to God. He tells us that over and over. It's holy time. It's special time. And we should be giving him our special and full attention and setting our things aside because, again, that's what he tells us to do. That's what he asks us to do. That's what he hopes our choice is. God is loving and compassionate toward his people who obey his law. God knows that there are many situations that come up in our lives that could cause us issues on the Sabbath. But he expects us to use wisdom in how we do things. He doesn't expect us to put anything above him. But use the wisdom he's given us. Use the Holy Spirit that he's given us concerning his Sabbath day and what we do on it, how we keep it. We come before God every Sabbath because that's a choice we've made to do. We made that choice to do it. That's why we're here. Nobody else has. Nobody else can make that choice for us. He opened our minds to understand this truth. We chose to answer that call. We chose to answer him, to say, yes, tell us, we want to know more. Thank you for sharing your truth with me. Thank you for calling me. There's nothing more important to mankind than the truth of God. Keeping God's holy Sabbath is the first step in the knowledge that we have. The first step toward our salvation, toward understanding God's plan. A test to see if we're going to obey God. Are we going to listen? Are we going to see what the Scripture says? Keep the Sabbath holy. That's what he says. We looked at a few signs today. We knew them all. We know what they represented. We know where they would take us if we followed their direction. They're used by companies, by businesses, to get our attention, to get our business, to have that relationship with us. Instead, McDonald wants that relationship. They don't want us to go to Burger King. They want us coming and buying from them. God wants us coming to him. He doesn't want us going anywhere else. He wants us directed to him. And he puts out signs. The sign is the Sabbath, his holy Sabbath day. That's a sign between God and his people. We need to recognize that sign and go in that direction. Follow the directions that that sign has for us, directing us toward eternal life. It's so important. It's a sign showing us who God is, what he's doing. So this has been my message today. It's a personal message because it's up to each one of us personally. Do we keep the Sabbath holy? Do you keep the Sabbath holy? Do I keep the Sabbath holy? What are we doing on God's holy Sabbath day? Is God pleased with us? Are we doing his pleasure? Or are we mixing a little of ours in there with it? What are we doing? God knows. We know. God says what he says in Scripture. It's a holy time, a special time that he set aside for us. God's holy Sabbath day, what a joy it is. It just doesn't get any better than this. And there's only one more sign that we should be looking for every day. And that's the sign that the Bible says. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy.